I haven't noticed anything different.
Kia ora tato. Tēnā tato, welcome to the new edition of Haukainga, an opportunity to hear the voices of our local communities and to share some stories that are really important to our whānau of Te Hiku as well as Taitokero whānui. This evening, I'm really privileged to be joined by our three chairs of Te Hiku, Hami Piripi of Te Rarawa, Rick Witana from Te Aupouri, and also Wallace Rivers from Ngai Takoto. Tēnā koutou. This evening, we are really excited to talk about Te Onerua Atohe, in particular the Te Onerua Atohe Beach Board, and the very important work that these three gentlemen, along with others, are doing to protect our takutai moana of that area. So, kia ora koutou, can I just ask you, Hami, to please introduce yourself and also your role on the board, and then we'll pass the rako around to our other guests too.
Kia ora. Yeah, well, I'm one of the board members and representing the iwi of Te Rarawa, and I'm very pleased to be associated with my peers from the other iwi, and also with the district and regional councils who share their work with us on the board. And it's a new and innovative experience. I don't think there's any board of this nature anywhere else in the country, maybe not even in the world, where the state legislature and customary owners, if you like, have sat down together to compile a jointly agreed plan for the management of the resource. And I think this is the beach has been a long time waiting for this. This is the first management plan that's ever been had on the beach. And so up until now, it's just been whatever people have wanted to do, they did. And now we're bringing a bit of discipline and management to the scenario. And that would be good for the health of the beach and good for the health of the people that are associated with it as well. So, kia ora.
Kia ora. Thank you, Hami. Tēnā koe, Rick, please tell us a little bit about yourself and your involvement on the board.
Tēnā koe. Tēnā tātou katoa. I'm Rick Witana. I am a trustee of Te Runanga Nui o Te Aupouri. I am the chair of the Te Hiku Iwi Development Trust and a member of, as I said, a trustee of Te Aupouri. I am also a member of the Te Onerua Atohe Beach Board. Unfortunately, I haven't been in this role for as long as Hami has, and so I'm relatively new to it, and I'm hoping that I at least bring a few new ideas to the table. I'm excited about the prospect because, as Hami has mentioned, this is a relatively innovative approach that we're taking, having a management or developing a management plan for Te Onerua Atohe. It can only be good for the beach and for the iwi in general, so I think it's a good thing. Tēnā koutou.
Kia ora, and tēnā koe, Wala.
Tēnā koe. Kia ora tātou. My name is Wallace Rivers. I'm the co-chair of Te Runanga o Ngai Takoto, which is a settlement iwi. We've settled along with three other iwi of Te Hiku. My role is co-chair of Te Runanga o Ngai Takoto is to participate in these forums, which are essential for change, and this board is part of that. I consider it a privilege to be a participant and to contribute the views of our people in this forum. So I'm very, very happy and privileged to be here.
Well, kia ora koutou. Look, I thought that it would be a great place to start because we talk about Te Onerua Atohe, but Te Pātai Tuatahi is Kōwai Atohe. So Hami, could you please give us a little bit of background about Tohe, his pursuits as a tupuna, and also some really interesting facts about the beach as well?
Well, Tohe is a grandson of Pōhurihanga, who captained the Kurahupo Waka. When it landed here in Hiku Tika. And he lived at a place called Pihane, which is now known as Spirits Bay. And he lived there peacefully throughout his life as a leader of his people. But when he became elderly, he worried about his daughter, who had her husband had taken her to where he was from in the Kaipara, and so he wanted to go and check her out, I guess it was, is the modern terminology, and so he announced to his people that he was going to be making a journey to see his daughter, because he was worried about her. Rainini Kura, her name was, and his people said to him, "You're crazy. Yeah, you're a crazy old man. If you make that journey, you will die. You're too old and too frail to make a journey of that magnitude." And he said, "Well, if I do die, you can catch my spirit on its way back and say goodbye to me then." And of course, he did die in his endeavor, and his spirit did make its way back, because along the beach is also a spirit, Arawairua, which was created by Kupe, around about, I don't know, 1000 AD or something. And so that's the way that the Arawairuas, of course, returned to our original homeland through the Arawairua to Te Ringa Wairua, and the whole passage through to the spirit world. So, yeah, and Tohe was when Tohe went to find his daughter Rainini Kura, everywhere he went, he took a companion with him, and everywhere he went, he named places after events, after things that happened there. So I would say that between Kapawairua, which is renamed after his expression about catching my spirit when it comes back, from Kapawairua through to Hokianga and further, right to the Kaipara, Tohe named most of the places that we now know today, and some of them have even been forgotten. So he was a prolific nomenclature man, and because behind each name is a history, behind each history is a people, and that is really the footprints of on the beach that express and represent our providence and occupation of the beach for the last 1,000 or so years.
Awesome. Thank you, Hami. It's cool to know, you know, the story behind the name of Tohe, but also how Tohe connects all of us in Te Huku and further as well. Can you also tell us, how did this board come about? How did this board come about?
Well, in 1956, the Aupouri, Te Arawa, Ngāi Takoto, and Ngāti Kuri Iwi progressed a claim to the Māori Land Court to have the beach classified as Māori land, because at that stage in our history, we were using the beach like it was Māori land, and the Māori Land Court agreed with our tupuna and accepted the evidence of use and declared that indeed it should be Māori land, but the crown couldn't really afford to compromise its sovereign right to be the sovereign, I suppose. So they appealed that decision and won, and we then went again and we won. And then the Crown appealed a second time and won the second time. And we just didn't have the resources or the energy, probably, to pursue the claim to the Privy Council. And so the beach has been on our mind in terms of our management of it since 1956. And our parents and grandparents were all intimately involved in the claim. And as we progressed our historical treaty claims to the current regime, we put the beach high on the list and said that the beach needed to contain a mechanism of redress that was going to be suitable for us, because we couldn't accept any redress without the beach. And part of that was around the sacred nature of it, the Arawairua. I mean, how do you have a historical settlement by chopping a bit of your Arawairua out? it just wasn't going to be a goer. So, we had to find an innovative way to make it work as a treaty settlement. The Crown was not prepared to go back on its previous position of insisting on ownership. So we had to separate the ownership from the management and establish a management regime which would be led by ourselves, which it is, as a treaty claim redress mechanism, but also include the two councils who have existing legislative responsibility for different bits of law that relate to the beach. And so by bringing the councils in, we brought the legislation in all under the one umbrella of the board. The board is always chaired by one of the iwi. That's part of the redress mechanism. So we've got a consistent leadership role in the board. We have the ability to appoint commissioners, environmental commissioners, to hear consent applications. We the development of a management plan is the foundation for all that ongoing management work. The issue of ownership has been left to the side, but it's not by any means a dead duck. And if iwi are still interested in that aspect of it, we will be able to go back and pick it up in court. And I remember Rick's father was a huge advocate for that claim and that initiative, and so it's being passed down to us as their children to continue to hold the flame.
Kia ora. Yeah. Thank you, Hami. I'd like to just now bring that across to you, Rick. You know, that's quite big shoulders that you have in taking on this kaupapa through your papa and also your responsibility for the iwi. You know, what do you see as the vision for Te Onerua Atohe and the board?
I think that one of the key things that needs to come out, and maybe it's just actually a part of what Hami is talking about anyway, is because the ownership and even the management of Te Onerua Atohe was pretty difficult. The government and our settlement, our elders and fathers at the time organised a social accord with the Crown. And the social accord at the moment is where the Te Heku Iwi Development Trust comes to the fore. Because it is the Te Heku Iwi Development Trust that has been tasked by the iwi to actually look at the social aspects that are affecting hānau within Te Heku Ōtika. And included with that is the legislation that came with that Hami was talking about for the introduction and the establishment of a board that was responsible for Te Onerua Atohe. So that's been put into legislation. It makes it a little bit easier because all of a sudden we have the legislation that actually combines us with the council, various councils. And so I think that is probably a major reason why or how we can continue to develop and try and meet the ends that we are trying to do at the moment. It's a very much a positive step. What we're happy about is that since our settlement, the in roughly 2012. It's taken a little while to actually get a number of these initiatives in the social accord off the ground, and so we're happy that that has happened, albeit it's only occurred in the last couple of years.
Yeah. So Wallace, you know, it's a big responsibility. You know, a great point raised around you have some legislation wrapped around you, but there's also a responsibility to the whānau, the community. How do you kind of make this entity, Te Onerua Atohe, something that whānau can relate to and connect to and be part of?
That's an interesting question, Kaimari. So our people have always utilised the beach. It's our pack and save. It serves many purposes for us. And while activity across the beach has determined the health of what we see today, it still does not, our people still see it as part and parcel of who they are, part of our DNA, and we're intrinsically linked to it as much as we are to the whenua. Our people have that view, and that view would be common with all iwi, all of our people. So this management plan is a way of improving the health of Te Onerua Atohe and all that it serves. As communities, we have abused her, and it's time to come together as a community, commit ourselves to improving what exists today and make it better for the future, and try and restore it to its former glory, if you like, or how our tūpuna discovered it. And I think in the minds of our people, they would like to see the health of it and return some of those cultural riches, that taonga that our parents knew, their parents indulged in, all of our tūpuna, how they measured the health of Te Onerua Atohe by the fruits that it delivered in every season for our people.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. And so, Hami, in regards to the plan itself, what do you see? I mean, the whole process of creating a plan has been quite a journey in itself. For this to now be a public document for public submission, what were the steps that you took to even get the plan developed?
Well, because it was initially initiated by a historical treaty claim settlement, it had to satisfy that test first for us to be a workable board. So there were certain things that we needed to have. That was the ability to be adequately represented, the ability to lead the board, the ability for our own tikanga to be reflected in the activities of the board, in the procedures of the board. And we've managed to achieve all that. But of course, we've also had to introduce into the paradigm the Resource Management Act, the Land Transport Act, acts that pertain to the beach. And so we were faced really with a problem of whether we did everything together under one vision, or whether we had a plan for the Māori and a plan for the rest. And we decided that it was better to put it under one umbrella with Māori leadership. And I must say that I was very impressed with the council's, both councils' desire to participate in that way, because it had never been done before. And as a standing committee of council, the board, for the first time, I think, has organised that the standing committee be chaired by a Māori representative who's not necessarily on the council. And when we had our first meeting, that was one of the first things that councillors noticed, that we had a standing committee that's been chaired by the Māori community. And that's a good thing for them. It's a good thing for us, because it's got to be a new normal. It can't be like it used to be. We're not just a group to be consulted anymore. We are in a leadership role now, and so we should be. We've lived here forever, and we're going to be living here forever. So, you know, it's quite logical and appropriate for us to be in a leadership role. Our communities live here. We utilize the beach every day. We have an everyday working knowledge of it. And so, you know, why wouldn't you utilize that body of knowledge to take a leadership role in the management of the beach? And that's exactly what we've done. So that's what's innovative about it. That's what's fresh and different about it. But I guess in some ways it's also what's a little bit precarious about it, because if it were to fail, then it would be a big failure. And maybe never to be repeated again, who knows? But so I'm sure we all are intent on making sure that it works, because at the end of the day, the most important thing is the beach.
And I can't wait.
And so we all got our eyes down looking, you know, focused on the beach, because there's a powerful need for it now, for attention, for care, duty of care, responsibility, discipline over its use and utility. And so that's what we've got to consider first. We may strike situations as we move forward that we might have some rub points with our other constituents. But at the end of the day, you know, we have got a long history going back 1,000 years with this beach. And we're not going to, now that we've got it in our grasp, we're not going to be giving it up. And I can already see that the councils and the other officials and Pākehā participants in this initiative are already leaning towards us, looking to us for leadership, looking for us to add value to a paradigm that has been failing. And and I think we've got some good people on board, you know, people like Rick and Wallace and Graham Neho, who have lots of experience in this Māori paradigm of adding cultural value to initiatives to bring it to a vision that we can all share.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Any other points that you want to share? Because I think one of the key parts is that the plan itself is extensive. You're talking about roading, rubbish, collection of kai, wāhi tapu, access on off. It's very, very broad, very comprehensive. And one of the things that I really like about the plan is that it has mātauranga Māori right at the centre, and also an inclusion of Te Ara Wairua, as you've been mentioning before. But Rick, do you have any other considerations for the plan, and why do you think whānau should be interested and actually submit their views on the future of Te Onerua Tohe?
I think what you see before you is a really quite a pragmatic approach to management. And the thing about it, as Hami is saying, we don't want to lose the grip that we have on it at the moment, because if this is the best that we're going to get, and I'm talking about the fact that we aren't getting the beach back as part of, or under Māori ownership, then we need to make sure that we are very careful and calculating in exactly what it is that we want to achieve, and what it is that we actually bring back to the people for their support. So when you talk about whether or not why iwi should be looking at the submissions and making comments or otherwise on it, is because, and technically, we represent the iwi. And so therefore, I'm comfortable that what we've actually provided, we can hold up to the iwi as an exemplar of exactly what it is that they might want to see in the beach. The beauty of this is the first time ever that we have been, that we've had the opportunity or even the rights, I suppose, to actually make a stance or take a stance on things to represent all iwi in Te Hiku o Te Ika, for the betterment, as I said earlier, for the betterment of the beach and also for the betterment of the iwi. For years, the beach, we believe, has not been looked after as well as it could do or as it could have done. And I think that's one of the big things that the management plan brings to the fore at the moment, is that if the health of the beach is fine, the health of the iwi will be fine. And so therefore, we do need the iwi to actually support the management plan, because, and I don't think that's going to be too much of an onus on the iwi, because we're hoping that what we've put forward into the management plan is the voice of the iwi anyway. We will strive to continue to consult with iwi to make sure that that what the work that we're doing is basically that work that we capture from our discussions with the various iwi around the place. So I think the final thing that I'd like to say on it is, it is exciting. It is an exciting venture at the moment, because it's doing something, as Hami has mentioned, that we haven't, no one's done it before. Definitely no one in New Zealand has been in a situation that we're in at the moment. And so we've got to make sure that we do it right. If this is the only chance that we're going to get, the last thing we want to do is to put the desires of our iwi in peril based on the fact that we may not have hit the target that we might have aspired to do. So you can see that there's definitely a bit of pressure on us, but at the end of the day, I think the excitement overrides that, because we know that we are fighting a relatively just cause. And I think that if we can continue to keep that in the back of our minds and with the direction of the iwi, I don't think that we can go too far wrong. And I'm hoping that those words won't come back to haunt me in the future. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Willis, what are your thoughts?
Kei-Marie, this is our chance to tell our story from a Māori perspective, from a people perspective, from a whānau, from our marae, everything about who we are, our history, our whakapapa, as a community within Te Hiku o Te Ika, is reflected in that, in Te Onioroa Tohe. And our stories need to be told, and we have a chance now, in being a critical part of the management of the beach, to tell our stories. And so, in telling those stories, we hope to turn around and influence a change in a mindset of New Zealanders who see it in a different way. They reflect on the beach in a different way to Tiwi Māori. Yeah. And not everybody, but there's a large part of the Aotearoa community who see the beach in a different way. Now's our chance. The timing is right. There are political changes that have occurred, not just recently, but have been building up to this point in time. We have a different government from three successive elections of the other government, who have a different view. And we're seeing some good changes that are being communicated across all of New Zealanders. And the environmental communication climate change communication, all of that reflecting in the health of our beach, Te Wanerua Tohe. So all of those conversations which are now occurring within communities, within households, it changes all of the recent history, the 180 years of history where our beach has experienced incredible behaviour, and the health of it reflects that behaviour today. So yeah. The timing is right. The need for change and the way we can influence that change, that mindset, and tell our stories all within that conversation is critically important now. And we as Three Chairs, I'm sure we're all privileged to be a part of influencing that change in that mindset, in the behaviour. So I think I'm incredibly positive about where we can land with this and change the feeling within our community.
Kia ora. Well, whanau, just as you can see at the bottom there, there's a website that's kind of flying by, www.teoneroaatohe.nz. Now, if you want to see the plan, it is 60 pages, but it is very, very comprehensive, and you'll be able to see the depth and the consideration that this board, these three representatives and others have put into drafting the plan. There's also an acknowledgement that actually there was a whole stack of community consultation that went into the drafting of the plan, so they didn't just magic it out of nowhere. And they travelled all the way around Te Hiku to get community feedback, whānau feedback as well. So we do hope that this plan represents a very broad perspective as well. There are a few things that we just need to make sure that you're aware of. The website itself has the plan, but also there will be a series of community consultation hui where you can come and have a kōrero or come and have your say. They will be housed at the Te Ahu Centre in Kaitaia Thursday, the 24th of September, between 10 and 3 p.m. Thursday, the 1st of October, again between 10 and 3 p.m. And then Friday, the 2nd of October, between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. So those will be three consultation opportunities for you to come in and have your say. As Hami just said, the first one's Apopo. So if anyone's free in Kaitaia, head down to the Te Ahu Centre and check it out. Do take some time to read the plan. And also, please share it with your whānau as well, because, again, you can provide your feedback online as well as in person. So nō reira, I te iwi o ngā iwi whānui o te motu, ngā mihi kaua te kia koutou, to our three cheers. From Te Rarawa, Te Aupouri, Ngai Takoto, it is excellent to see you collaborating and working together and being an exemplar, as you said, Rick, of working together and not only to represent the visions of our tupuna, but also to protect the legacy for our mokopuna and uri whakaheke that are coming. So finally, Hami, do you have a final say as the chairman of this board? What's your final call to action for whānau?
Oh, he karanga ki te iwi, ko taike ki te wā, kia tatū mai te whakaaro a tēnā, te whakaaro a nani mā, te whakaaro hoki o te mokopuna, te whakaaro o te tamaiti a te kohine, kia noho tahi ngā whakaaro nei kia puta tātou katoa ki te ao marama.
Mauri ora.
Right.
Well, kia ora everyone, take care. Haukainga will be a permanent fixture at least to the end of the year, so I'll be back in another couple of weeks to bring another story from Haukainga of Te Hiku to share what's going on locally, not only to benefit Aotearoa but also the world. Mauri ora, aroha nui, pō marie.
Pō marie. Pō marie. Hey,